Srila Prabhupada wanted to introduce this Brahminical culture all over the world, understanding that a Vaishnav, even from a very low family, which means all of us in the Western world, even from a low family, is more exalted than a high-class Brahmana by birth, by tradition, who is not a Vaishnava. Chandalo pi dvija sreshta hari bhakta hari bhakti parayanaha. Chandalo pi dvija sreshta. Chandala, one who's born in a family of dog eaters, is better than the best of Brahmanas if he is attached to Hari Bhakti, to Krishna consciousness. And Hari Bhakti Vihinascha. Hari Bhakti Vihinascha Dvijopi Swapacha Damaha. And even if one is devoid of Krishna Bhakti, then even if he is superficially twice born, then he's lower than a dog eater. This is Vaishnava Vichar, or the understanding of Vaishnavas. Smarta Vichar, or the understanding of those who are attached to the Vedic process without understanding the meaning of it, the true meaning of it, who don't understand that the meaning of all Vedic knowledge is to understand and serve Krishna. Vedaischa sarvaihamiva vedyaha. Krishna says, by all the Vedas, in all the Vedas, I am the object of knowledge. So those who don't understand this, Vedavadarata, they're attached to the extrinsic form of the Vedas, and therefore they stress Brahmanatva, or the status of being a Brahmana, by birth. And this became very prominent in India during Kali Yuga. So much so that the true Vaishnava understanding became almost covered. Even at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see that this misunderstanding of caste was very strong. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, they subscribed to the social formalities of the caste system at that time. Sanatana Goswami, although from a very high-class Brahmin family, due to considering himself Mlecha Sangi, Mlecha Sevi, one who associates with Mlechas, meat eaters. He was working in the Muslim government. And Mlecha Sevi, servant of Mlechas. Mlecha Sangi, Mlecha Sevi, Potita Adham. He considered himself very fallen and the lowest of men. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, recognizing his devotion to Krishna, countered Sanatana Goswami's arguments that he was very fallen, that Sanatana Goswami considered himself very fallen. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the complete understanding that Nicha Jati Nahe Krishna Bhajane Ajog, Shatkul Bipra Nahe Bhajane Jogya, Je Bhaje Shebara Abhakta Hino Cha, Krishna Bhajane Nahik Jat Kuladi Vicha. That birth in a low family is not a disqualification for devotional service. And simply being born in a high-class Brahmana family does not in and of itself make one eligible for performing bhakti. Whoever actually worships Krishna, whichever birth status he's from, is glorious. And whoever doesn't worship Krishna, whatever his birth status is, high or low, he is rejected, fallen. So this is the paramarthic vichar, or the spiritual consideration, as opposed to the vyavaharic vichar, or the ordinary conventional understanding. Of course, these considerations don't really apply in India because there are no, the whole culture of caste Brahmanism, it's not there. But that was very strong in India, now it's becoming broken down. And in some ways that was good. It wasn't bad in all respects, because it wasn't that everyone who was born in a Brahmin family was simply a rascal, but not like that. But the Brahminical culture that was upheld in the family, and Arjuna speaks about this in Bhagavad Gita, about upholding the family traditions. So especially among the Vedic culture is based on Brahminical culture. All Kshatriya, Vaishya, and even Shudras, with some modification according to their Varna, which is sometimes wrongly translated as caste, according to the societal division they find themselves in within, and according to Vritti, or Vritti means occupational tendency. So there would be some differences. For instance, Kshatriyas fight, they have to be trained to do that. But the Brahminical standard that is considered the ideal, the Brahminical culture was specifically upheld in the Brahmana families. That was the general tradition, was upheld in the Brahminical families. And all the usages of the Brahmins that was inculcated in children from the beginning of life. How do children learn? By taking direct instruction and by seeing others also. That's why Prabhupada said how the parents of devotees' children in the West, he was advising, how should they train them in devotional service? Just the parents should be Krishna conscious and perform all the activities of Krishna conscious, and the children will automatically follow. They automatically desire to do what they see those all around them doing. So the Brahminical culture was protected even from the Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra culture. They would live in their own areas. That was very favorable for cultivating their own culture. And what to speak of the Chandala, Swapacha, dog eaters, or those who are not following the culture. They were not allowed to live with the Varnashramis, or those who are following Varnashram. So Brahmins, they would cultivate their very high-class culture, actually, of always being very clean and worshipping the Lord. The Brahmanas had duties of especially worshipping the Lord in the temples. It would be pujaris, or others would be family priests, or these duties may overlap. Pujari and family priests. For even Brahmins' families, they also have their own, they also have their priests for their, they also have priests for their family, because they also need to have all these sanskars performed. So some might specialize in astrology, others would be teachers, some would be cooks, temple cooks. These are the duties of Brahmanas, which they would. It'd be very clean, and every Brahmana has to daily perform puja and chant mantras. And a Brahmana is supposed to be learned. This Brahminical initiation is sometimes considered synonymous with the upanayanam, which are the ceremony. Upanayanam samskar, the reformatory process which is bestowed upon Brahmin boys usually anywhere between the age of 5 at the very youngest and maximum 12. So after this, after that means the sacred thread is bestowed upon them. And after that they are taught the Vedas. After receiving Brahminical initiation into Dvija, second birth. So then that allows them, after the ceremony is performed, that allows them, that gives them the right to study the Vedas. Even though they're born in a Brahmana family, Janmana Jayate Shudra, by birth, they are considered a child without this Upanayanam, without investiture of the sacred thread, is considered like a Shudra, because a Shudra has very little discrimination or proper behavior. So children also, young children, even if they're born in a Brahmin family, they're children. But then, Sanskara Bhavet Dvija, by this Upanayanam Samskara, they are considered twice born. And in this second birth, the father is the guru and the mother is Ved Shastra, Veda Mata. Ved is also considered mother. Then, Veda Patet Bhavet Vipra. Upon studying the Vedas, he is considered Vipra, or actually learned Brahmana. He may study one Veda, two Vedas, three Vedas, or four Vedas. There's so much to study. First, they have to study the Sanskrit language, grammar, and so many things. And they may also study Upavedas, such as Dhanurveda, the science of fighting. Generally, all will study Jyotihi Veda, or the science of astronomy and astrology, which is especially important for calculating favorable times for performing yajñas, which are central to Brahminical culture, and which particularly the Brahmanas have to perform. So so much learning is there, and by learning one is considered vipra. But Brahma Jana Titi Brahmana, one who has actually realized the absolute truth, which is the subject matter of the Vedas, is called a Brahmana. Brahma Janatiti Brahmana. Brahma means the absolute truth. Brahma also means the Vedas. So if one actually knows the Vedas, then he should understand the absolute truth. So that is why a Vaishnav is actually the only real Brahmana. Because a Vaishnav knows what is the actual subject matter of the Vedas. Actually, in this Kali Yuga, Vyasadeva, who is the compiler of the Vedas, he has recommended is not so favorable even to study the original Vedas, but rather one should study the Sarva Vedanta Saram, Saram Saram Hi Udaharitam, the essence of the essence of the essence of Vedanta is Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Vedas, in the Vedas, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, the Vedas, they mostly deal with subject matters in the three modes of material nature, Karma Kanda, elevation to the heavenly planets, and so on. So, Nistrai Gunyo Bhava Arjuna, Arjuna is recommended go above these three modes. So this means to come to Vedanta. Vedanta means the Upanishads, which is concerned with a philosophical approach to the absolute truth. But the Upanishads mostly present the absolute truth in almost an equivocal manner. Actually, the Vedaisya Sarve Raham Eva Vedya, all the Vedas are meant to understand Krishna. But the Upanishads are presented in such a way, especially those Upanishads which are well known in human society. There are directly Vaishnava Upanishads also, just like Narayana Upanishad, Gopal Tapani, Nrsingha Tapani. But the Upanishads which are high or most common in human society, Well, first is Isha Upanishad, which the very name gives the identity Isha, Ishvara Parama Krishna, the supreme controller. So it's very clearly personal, but somehow or other Shankaracharya has interpreted it impersonally. And in the Upanishads we'll find both Bheda Vakya and Abheda Vakya, those which state the difference between the supreme and the non-supreme, such as Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eka Yo Vidatati Eka, what is that? Ekam Yo Bahu Vidatati Kama. There is one supreme eternal among all eternals, one supremely conscious among all the conscious living beings. That one is supplying the needs and fulfilling the desires of the many. So there are many such statements in the principal Upanishads. It's from Katha Upanishad, Shvetashvatar Upanishad. Tamishvaranam Paramam Maheshvaram. He is the Supreme Lord. Tam Ishvaranam, he is the controller. Paramam, supreme. Maheshwaram, he is the great controller. Parasya Shakti Vividhai Vashuyate. The energies of the Supreme Lord, they are understood, they are heard in various ways. There are many such statements. But there are others, there are other statements which appear to be stressing the impersonality of the Absolute Truth. Ekam vai dvitiya nasti. There is only one Absolute Truth and no second. So there are such statements also. But directly explaining Krishna, we won't find in what are considered the principal Upanishads. So Vedanta is generally seized upon by the impersonalists who think themselves to be knowledgeable. But then when one actually understands, when one actually acquires real knowledge, then bahunam janmanam ante gyanavam mang prapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti samahatna sudur labaha. After many, many births of studying Vedas, Vedanta, one can come to the conclusion that Vasudeva, Krishna is all in all and thus surrender to him. Such a great soul is very rare. So by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, well, on one side we have in Kali Yuga that people are not fitted or not fit for this deep exegetical study of the Shastra. So much Shastra, who is going to study this all the Vedic Shastras, what is that? Stri Shudra Dvija Bandhunam Tri Naveda Gocharaha. Women, Shudras, fallen members of the Brahmana caste, they're not suitable for studying Vedas. So that's on one side, they're not suitable to study. On the other side, there is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. He has provided Pancharatrik Vidhi for approaching him. To approach the Supreme Lord through the Vedas requires some preliminary qualification through the Vedic path. In the Pancharatrik Vidhi, or that which is outlined in the Pancharatra Shastra, the only qualification that is required is the sincerity to approach Krishna. Sincerity means not just some passing curiosity, but the willingness to take to this process and be trained in this process. This Pancharatrik Vidhi is such that even someone otherwise not qualified at all, coming from very bad background, bad habits and so many things, they can also attain the brahminical status. What is that? Kangshang rasa vidhanataha. How does that verse begin? It states just like the kangs, the metal can be converted to dvijatvam jayate nrinam. This verse, which I can't remember all of now, states that anyone can be converted to the brahminical status by the diksha vidhi, by pancharatri diksha vidhi. If one is serious to follow this, then he can also be converted into a brahmana. Now this would not mean the vyavaharic brahmana, or those who are by family status and culture, they are called, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has delineated, vyavaharic brahmana, means conventionally understood as brahmanas. They follow the brahminical process, they come in brahminical families, they're trained according to that culture. But for others, who don't come from that background, they can be lifted to the platform of brahmana, and actually better brahmana, because paramarthic brahmana, because they're paramartha means the topmost necessity. It means that which is spiritual. So the paramarthic brahmana, even if coming from a materially backward background, can be lifted to the standard of a brahmana, real brahmana, brahmana in the full sense of the term, by this process of pancharatriki diksha. Full brahmana means vyavaharic brahmana, he's a brahmana, but not fully. But Vaishnav is fully a brahmana because he knows what is Brahma, what is the absolute truth, and is fully dedicated to that. So, Brahma vid Brahma eva bhavati, as the Upanishad states, those who know what is Brahma, the absolute truth, then they also become Brahma, they also come to the spiritual platform. So this Pancharatriki Diksha is meant for lifting one to the spiritual platform. Now, another factor to be considered here is that this Pancharatriki Diksha, which is given with Pancharatrik mantras, is not actually required. Because Harenama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiranyata. The holy name alone is sufficient. Not only the holy name is sufficient to deliver all perfection, but nothing else is required. Even diksha, what is that? Diksha purus charja opekkana kare. It's not required to wait for initiation or performing elaborate rituals, because the holy name is sufficient to raise one fully to the spiritual platform. Then it may be asked, then why have this brahminical initiation? What is the point? There are different purposes for that. One is that the, although not fully necessary, these pancharatrik mantras can help, as many mantras can help. There are so many mantras that can help to help one in one's cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Actually, these pancharatrik mantras, there's Brahma Gayatri and the pancharatrik mantras that go along with this. So they're actually very esoteric mantras for helping the sadhak or practitioner in Krishna consciousness to meditate upon and enter into the highest realms of spiritual reality. So that is one consideration. Another consideration is that although the holy name is sufficient for self-realization, for the holy name can give everything, but mostly it is for most persons it is recommended, means for most aspiring devotees it is recommended that they also, apart from chant, they engage in the other processes of devotional service, including archanam, worship of the Supreme Lord as his archa vigraha, archa avata, the deity form. Now for deity worship, archan, it is required that certain mantras be chanted, and these mantras require to be given by a guru in parampara. The archan system has many rules which need to be followed, which is also very helpful for the aspiring devotee. So to approach the Supreme Lord in his deity form, the deity and the name are non-different, but the deity is to be served in a different way to the in that which the name is to be served. So there are different rules, there's different methodology for serving the Lord as his deity. So certain mantras are to be chanted, and those mantras, they can only be chanted, they will only have effect, that will only be recognized if one has is initiated by this Pancharatriki Vidhi. So this is necessary actually for deity worship, to have received Brahminical initiation. Another reason that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced Brahminical initiation even to persons not from Brahmin caste. Actually, he didn't introduce it, first of all, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. He wasn't the first. But he, in his time, in the time, in his era, he promoted it very strongly and caused somewhat of an uproar by doing so. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was also giving such mantras, but he didn't initiate very widely. And others also, others in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, they also did. So it wasn't something new that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did. But he especially wanted to introduce this. One of his purposes was to show that who is a Vaishnav, they're automatically Brahman. They should wear this thread. It should not be only for persons born in such families. Vipradvishadaguna yuta. What is that? Vipradvishadaguna yuta padaravinda vimukat svapachanvarishto manye tadarpita mano vachane hitarta pranan kunati sakulam natu bhurimanaha. Prahlad Maharaj says the same thing. Vipradvishadaguna yuta aravindanava, that one who is born in a family of dog eaters, if he worships the Supreme Lord, Krishna, then he is better than a Brahmin. Even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, then he probably is not a very cultured kind of person. He's probably pretty rough in his habits, to say the least. Whereas Viprat Dvishadaguna Yuta, he is decorated with the 12 Brahminical qualities as described in the Sanak Sujatiya, one section of Mahabharata. It describes, just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the qualities of a Brahmana, that is, who's Brahmin initiated? Who can say? Shamo dama tapa shocham kshantir arjavam evacha vijnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. So, peacefulness, self-control, shamo dama, tapasya, austerity, cleanliness, tolerance of material difficulties, straightforward behavior, non-duplicity, kshanti arjavamevacha, knowledge, which means not MSc, PhD, but Vedagyan, knowledge of Shastra, Veda Vidya, and Vijnanam, knowledge of practical understanding of how to apply this in life. So these are qualities give, and Sanat Sujatiya gives more. So one who has got these qualities, Brahminical qualities, but is not a devotee of Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj, who is born in a family of demons, although his grandfather was a great Brahmana. Who was the grandfather of Prahlad Maharaj? Bali. Any other better guesses? Kashyap, Kashyap, great Brahmana. So, he was born in the family of demons. Prahladas chasmi daityanam. Krishna says, among the demons I am Prahlad. So he's from a demon family. So, Prahlad says that even if one is a very well-behaved Brahmana, if he's inimical to the service of Krishna, he cannot purify himself, what to speak of his family. Brahmanas, they do everything, they're trying to be very pure. Brahmanas called Shuchi, which means very pure. They're always doing archaman and try to keep everything in the house pure and won't allow dirty people, low class people, to come to their home. They're very careful what they eat. So in this way, Brahman tries to keep pure. But Prahlad Maharaj says that such a Brahmana cannot actually purify, cannot purify the heart if there's no Krishna consciousness. Whereas someone born in a family of dog eaters, which is considered congenitally impure, cannot be purified by smarta vichara. Such a person cannot be pure. Such a person is considered in this life, he's a hopeless. There's no question of purification. It's like trying to clean coal or something like this. However much soap you wash coal with, it's going to be black. It's never going to be clean. So svapach, one who cooks dogs, one who comes from such a family, he cannot be purified. That's the general consideration. But by Vaishnava consideration, if such a person takes to devotional service, then he purifies not only himself, but his whole family. So to demonstrate this point, and to preach this point, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced this Brahminical initiation, even among persons not from Brahmana families. So Prabhupada wanted to introduce this Brahminical culture in the Western countries. Brahminical culture means that culture, the actual Brahminical culture means that culture which supports Krishna consciousness. We have rules and regulations to follow in Krishna consciousness, but we often find that due to association with the broader culture in which we live, devotees find it difficult to remain strong in Krishna consciousness. They have taken the vow to follow four regulated principles, but they feel due to immersion in the broader culture, they feel attracted to take to its ways, such as, oh, we can watch TV a little bit, it's not that bad. But then all the bad things come in, all those things which are unfavorable towards advancement in devotional service. So in this way, devotees, they find it very difficult. We're seeing they find, unless one is very determined, it's very easy to be influenced by this demoniac culture in which we live. It may not seem demoniac, because if you meet people on the street, they'll say, hello, how are you? Very nice, very good. But actually it's demoniac because the aim is sense gratification. The aim is not service to Krishna. So the Brahminical culture that is supposed to, where everyone lives together and acts in a manner favorable for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Everyone helps everyone else. Everyone supports everyone else. As much as we adhere to the Krishna conscious way of life, we help others. Just by doing so, then others can see that good example and be enlivened by that. And as much as we don't, then others will think, oh, he's doing, he's not following, and why should I? And then everything becomes weak. So Prabhupada wanted to introduce this Brahminical culture, which is required actually if we're to worship the Lord. As I was saying, this Brahminical initiation is required for deity worship. So Krishna, contrary to our mundane vision, is not simply a stone. He knows everything. He's on the altar, he's in our heart also. So if we're cultivating the lower modes of nature, then by association with that which is non-Krishna conscious, if we indulge in sense gratification, if we deliberately cultivate that which is not Krishna conscious, then we cannot please Krishna. We cannot be a Brahmin. We may formally go on the altar and wave some incense. But if prior to that and after that we engage in activity, non-Krishna conscious activities, then that will, Krishna knows. He will not be pleased by such formal worship. So Brahminical initiation means not simply that, well, we need someone to go on the altar. So, initiation is to recognize those who are so serious about Krishna consciousness that they are certainly eligible to serve the Lord in this way. That they are Brahmana. Brahmana means Brahmacharati iti Brahmacharya. Brahmana means Brahmacharya. He's observing the Brahminical way of life, always absorbed in spiritual activities. So those who are very serious to take this up, they should take this up. It's in our movement, sometimes a lot of fuss is made, or there's not much disturbance when a sannyasi is seen to deviate from his principles, and it's considered, oh, it's very bad, which it is. But we shouldn't. It's actually very serious if an initiated brahmana also deviates from the principles. It's very serious to accept the status of a brahmana and not to adhere to it. That is a serious fall-down. Unfortunately, in the modern way of life, we tend to take everything very flippantly. We think, oh, no. So what? What does it matter? But this is a very serious commitment. Therefore, this Brahminical initiation, that should be awarded to those who it is seen they are very seriously practicing Krishna consciousness, not to others. So, having said that, I will request the brahmanas to perform the ceremony. Hare Krishna.